Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoff, and today I have the great pleasure of speaking with both Paul Hagen and Derek Myers, both who are principal analysts at Forrester. In this podcast, we're going to cover how business processes can improve one of the top, if not the top thing of businesses today, and that's customer service. And this is also one of the centerpieces in a new book coming out from Forrester called Outside In, The Power of Putting Customers at the Center of Your Business. So, gentlemen, Derek and Paul, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks. Hey,
no problem.
To start it off, what would you say are the keys to assuring an excellent customer experience?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is understanding the customer perspective. And I say this, it's a non-trivial thing to do. Most companies and most of the work that companies do comes from the company perspective, not the customer perspective. There are things that companies are trying to achieve, whether that's increasing their margins or saving costs or increasing upsells, increasing market share. All of those things are important from the company's perspective and also can frame a lot of the way they go to market. It also misses the customer perspective. It misses what they're trying to achieve, the goals that they have outside of your company's products and services. And so I think just getting into that customer perspective, and that's not simply from a spreadsheet or some quantitative surveys, but really having some deep understanding, actually observing customers, talking with them, understanding what they're trying to achieve is key number one. I think key number two is understanding the kind of experience that you as a company are trying to deliver. Southwest Airlines and Singapore Airlines have vastly different kinds of experience for different kinds of customers. They both provide excellent customer experiences for their relative customer base. So understanding who you are as a company, what differentiates you, why people do business with you, and thinking about the experience from those perspectives of that value proposition out to customers is key. And then I would say the third key is actually designing experiences. Most companies put together a series of business processes that may happen organically over time. They don't actively design the experience that customers have. And I say this in a B2B or a B2C kind of setting. B2B companies, business-to-business companies, have humans that they deal with and are often even worse in thinking about what that experience is that they're giving to the complex set of human relationships they have within their client base.
And I would, this is Derek speaking, I'd echo what Paul was saying. I'd probably say it subtly differently, but, you know, that second one there, I tend to regard as being more, make sure you've got a vision for what you're trying to deliver. There's no good designing a few processes if you haven't really got the vision of the experience you're trying to deliver. So actually getting into the head of the customer and thinking about the experience that you want to deliver, how you want them to think, how you want them to respond to you is critical. And of course, then you start designing that experience and making sure that you deliver it every time. And that's what your processes should be about. Very often, and from a process perspective, you know, when people say I've got this process, what they mean is a proxy for the org chart. You know, it's not a process. It's some sort of functional decomposition of, you know, how Stafford Beer described them as mechanisms for apportioning blame almost. You know, that's their idea of a process. You know, in a sense here, you've got to really set out to say, well, what's the intention here? The intention is to blow our customers' socks off. And by the way, you're not going to get to do that by just copying what the Joneses do, or, you know, you're not going to read about it in Harvard Business Review or the Financial Times. You're only going to find it out from your customers.
I think the idea of blowing your customers' socks off is relative to who your customers are in the first place. Who's your target customers? You know, again, the Southwest Airlines and Singapore Airlines, a very different customer base with a different set of expectations that you set up for them and therefore a different set of experiences that you would deliver them.
I was going to say, so just to make that very real and visceral almost, you know, imagine if you sit in the exit row of Southwest Airlines and you start talking to the cabin attendant and ask them what they won't do for you, they could probably be pretty explicit of what sort of customers they deal with and what their brand's all about and what sort of things they don't do, and really articulate the difference between themselves and a full-service airline. Typically, though, when you go to those full-service airlines, and I don't really have personal experience with Singapore, but let's say whether it's any other one you want to mention that's technically a full-service airline, they can never tell you what they won't do for you. They're always, but that's where you end up with missed expectations and those sorts of things. Sorry, Paul.
Well, that explains it much further for me, too. But I'm glad you brought up processes now. So to drill down on business process management, how would you say business processes can be used then to improve customer experience?
So if you think about it, the experience that you deliver is entirely made up of the processes you have, whether they're designed or not. You know, you have processes, you have ways of doing things. You may not have designed them. So strangely enough, if you haven't designed them, the experience that you get as a customer is going to be pretty haphazard. You obviously need to think about how a set of processes, and I'm using my words very carefully now, a set of processes contribute to that experience design that you're looking for. And if you don't go about it in that sort of way, then again, you know, you end up with this sort of functional decomposition view of process where everything belongs to the org chart rather than the way in which you deliver value to the customer. Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, processes exist and you can streamline those processes and make things easier for customers. Export Development Canada, for example, started looking through the end-to-end financing, the big B2B finance company that provides bonding for companies doing trade across borders. Their application process was a little bit of a nightmare. When they went through it, they found 100 or more different touch points that crossed, over a dozen divisions within the company. In looking at that end-to-end experience, there were all kinds of lacks of visibility, poor handoffs, the unpredictable amount of time that would take to complete an application and almost no visibility out to the customer. When they looked through those set of processes, they were able to streamline that, create greater visibility, and so forth. But it really was about looking at an end-to-end customer process and then understanding how to streamline those processes within that larger customer process.
Well, I think that makes sense. Now, as you were saying, asking an airline, what can't you do? What can't this do? What are the limitations we have here in focusing on business processes for customer experience?
Can I have just have a shot at the previous one in a way first? Because actually, the whole point is that you've got to start thinking about the way in which the things that you do align to deliver that experience and align to deliver that value. And the reason I'm just sort of rowing back a little bit, Peter, is because of the discussion around case and all those sorts of things. Remember, there's always this vexation about, is it, BPM versus case management at the other end of the spectrum? And really, people get into trouble when they try and apply just highly prescriptive, way of doing business, when at the end of the day, your customers don't really necessarily care about the way you're internally organized. And it's about delivering them a better experience. Does that make sense? And that's where the case side comes in.
Right. In its essence, the focus is on the experience and not on the process. So I guess that does lead to the question, so how fixed or adaptive do these processes need to be?
I think they need to be very adaptive. In the final analysis, customers are less worried about your procedures than you are. I don't care about my bank's internal processes as long as they don't lose my money. What I care about is that they're on 24/7, that they're available, that, they're easy to do business with, that they're not rude to me, that they, all those sorts of things. I don't care about their processes. That's almost how they, that's the cost of them doing business is really the process view. I'm more interested in the value that they deliver to me. So in a way, that's the way to come down to it, if that makes sense.
I would add on, I think in this world, technology and capabilities for delivering value to customers are changing incredibly rapidly. customers' expectations and what they're doing is changing rapidly. I think most companies have, you know, are just starting to put their hands around the fact that they can interact with customers within the context of their customers using their product, whether that's software as a service. You know, a company can interact with you while you're using their software. A forklift has got sensors in it. I can interact with the user of that forklift or the business owner within the context of that forklift or those tennis shoes. You know, I can interact with a customer around their fitness goals where I couldn't do that before. Those things, by nature, as companies are developing products, are able to interact within those contexts with customers, I think inherently means that the kinds of things customers want to interact with a company around and have those experiences and what a company can do have to be adaptive to how those customers are using those products. That said, you know, some companies are in commodity-based businesses and they're competing on a low cost. And I think those will be less adaptive than, say, a company that's really trying to target customers in a more tailored kind of way. And so I think there's a little bit of looking at how one competes out there and how you create efficiencies to compete at the low cost. But again, you know, that goes back to your company strategy and a little bit of what Derek was talking earlier about is what's your vision and what kind of experience are you creating? What kind of expectation are you setting out there in the marketplace? That's going to dictate certainly how adaptive you need to be to, you know, meet the needs of customers.
And let me build on that, Paul. I mean, in a way, it's, you know, your strategy is sort of like what markets are you going to be in, where are you going to play, you know, what sort of products are you going to have, and how do you think you're going to win? You know, then you get to an operating model. What sort of services do we want to deliver? What sort of capabilities do we need to support those services? And what are the processes that need to support those capabilities? Now, you know, if you're an insurance company and, you know, the current customer experience is that, you know, let's say it's a life insurance company, you know, there's a claim, i.e. someone has died, and it takes you 9 calls to actually get your situation resolved, that's not really a good experience. I mean, you know, put it this way, if you had to get on a plane to London and book the flight 9 times, would you want to get on the flight? If you went to a restaurant and had to put your order in 9 times, would you want to go back again? Obviously not. Right. The point is, you have to start thinking about how you design those experiences, how you build the process to do that. Now, if I think about, let's say, the adaptive experience that might go on between me and my bank, go back to that example. Let's say I've just got divorced. You know, what's that life-changing event that has gone on? Now, when I ring up, I'm giving them a change of address. I want to set up 2 trust accounts for my sons. You know, here's, I want to close down a joint account. I want to refactor the mortgage somehow. You can't tell me you've got one single fixed process to handle those situations, which is back to this point about case management. You know, in a way, you have processes that do things, and you're going to add to that experience. You need to design each one of those components to help deliver on that. Does that make sense?
You know, I think the example of the divorce or things like death, you know, there's financial services is an interesting one to look at. What I think, you know, going back to the conversation around limitations around business processes, at the end of the day, those are incredibly emotional, most emotional moments for customers. And you can make business processes, certainly you can go through and make the process at that particular, with that scenario, more efficient. Oftentimes those are not efficient because they're different departments, they're different processes, those processes don't hang together. And in a highly emotional moment, it's incredibly frustrating to get anything done. Vanguard went through, it was looking at when people die and what the loved ones have to go through in terms of consolidating accounts and changing names and whatnot. And realized that it was a nightmare for their clients, and so they streamlined all of those things. But what was most important, and when they did that, the kind of feedback they got back from customers was much more about, thank you for being so understanding, thank you for being empathetic and understanding my situation and making it easy. It was as much about the emotional side of things as the process that was important from the customer's perspective. And I think one of the limitations, I think, of just looking at business process alone is simply that it looks at the rational and misses the emotional. And in designing customers' experiences, it is about getting, you know, we look at three things that companies have to nail in terms of experiences. It has to deliver the value that a customer expects and wants. It has to be easy, and I think those two things are the rational side. But then it has to be enjoyable or some other proxy for an emotional side of that, because that's what turns people from simply being satisfied to being advocates for your brand or evangelists for your brand, which I think where companies want to be.
And to sort of back that up, Paul, you know, in a sense, I'll now put a sort of process language on it almost, exactly to what you're saying, but in a way what you're doing is you're looking at the process and you design your set of processes to deliver the outcomes you want, but then you also have to complement that, and I think this is the key point, with an emphasis on the behaviors of your employees and actually helping them understand their role and the relationship that they're trying to engender and the way in which they should deal with their customers. So in that little scenario when someone's got a life insurance claim, it's about being empathetic. It's about being listening to them and letting them vent a little bit. And it's not about how fast can you put the phone down and get on to the next call, because they're not going to thank you for that afterwards.
That empathy rolls to back office employees as much or more so than front office employees. If you've got a legal department putting together policies and procedures that are protecting the company at the cost of the customer experience, those people need to see the empathy and see the results of it. Oftentimes people look at customer experience as the responsibility of the call center people and the front lines folks. And really those are just simply the messengers for other people who create horrible experiences. And I think, you know, if I were to put another limitation on the way companies often implement business process change, it happens in the back office. You know, a BPM group or a continuous improvement group is reporting up through a COO or a CFO and rarely have, you know, contact with customers or understand kind of the implications of what some of those back office processes have on the agents delivering the customer experience and the customers themselves.
To really to build on what Paul was just saying there, I mean, I give you an example. I'm doing a piece of work right now for a mobile network operator. And, you know, I've done the deliverable to the client, which is all about standing up a business architecture initiative and what have you, which is creating the alignment to do all these things that we're talking about just here. And the pushback has come, well, I need to be able to show to the CFO, the person who's sponsoring this, the value of doing this. And I found myself going, well, hold on. So if the CFO doesn't really understand the value of having the employees aligned around delivering great outcomes for customers that they care about, then maybe he's at the wrong job, because he's factoring in, you know, it's like all they're looking at that point is if productivity equals value divided by resources. So many business process initiatives are just focused on reducing the number of resources involved and nothing to do with the value side of the equation. And that's their only way of driving up productivity.
It seems like you're kind of highlighting it a bit. So I guess my final question then is, what are some of the key business process mistakes that you've seen companies make around customer experience?
They forget the fact that they're delivering an experience and they focus too much on efficiency.
I would echo that. I would say, you know, the biggest mistake is framing problems based on internal needs rather than customer needs. I think hand in hand with that is looking at a siloed process or set of processes and not understanding what the customer process is or the customer journey. If you haven't looked at the customer journey, then you're really looking, you can make a credit risk process incredibly efficient internally, but when a customer's going through a mortgage process, who cares that that is super efficient? The handoffs between the credit risk and the originators and the escrow folks, you know, were completely broken.
And Peter, just, you know, think of it like this. You know, we often, it's how we engage people on this journey is part of the problem. And the way I have of saying it is a bit like this. If you went to a middle-ranking manager inside your average large company and asked them, are your processes good enough? Are they, you know, fit for purpose? Just tell me what answer they can give you other than yes, that means they shouldn't have already been fired, right? They will always answer that question yes. On the other hand, if you went to that same person, never mentioned process, and said, do you think we deliver the best possible outcomes that our customers might want? The answer is invariably no. Do you think we should aspire to? The answer is yes. Would you come on a journey with me to make that happen? The answer is yes. You don't even need to mention process because they're going to come back to you 5 minutes later, holding your feet to the fire, going, we really have to improve these processes. Because it's the way in which you get people to think about the problem. And if they think about it when you mention process, you know, the reality is that 9 out of 10 people couldn't give a rat's whatever for efficiency. But on the other hand, those same 9 out of 10 people really do care about the outcomes they deliver to their customers. And they very seldom get the chance to frame it like that.
Indeed. Excellent information. This is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with Paul Hagen and Derek Myers of Forrester. And those listening probably want to check out Outside In, the Power of Putting Customers at the Center of Your Business. Gentlemen, thank you so much for some very excellent information.
Hey, thanks, Peter, for having us.
Thanks, Peter.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.